Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's brand new message series, Don't Blink. But first, here's his message, Faith Under Fire.
Take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 12. Beloved, meaning you as a child of God are loved. Nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. So before we even talk about suffering, before we deal with the issues of pain and persecution, stop there and realize, just think about it a moment, you are loved by God. You are beloved. So beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. And if you are insulted in the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? And then verse 9 wraps it up. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. What happens when we suffer? Are we destroyed? Are we so beaten down that we become angry, resentful, defeated, depressed? Or can we learn some lessons in the fiery ordeals of life? The fiery test, the fiery trials of life that will strengthen our faith. There are some who even deny that God exists because they argue something like this. If because of suffering and evil in the world, if God is good, how could He allow something like this to exist? Or else God is not all powerful and has stepped away from the suffering of humanity. How could you believe in a God, some would say, that would allow such human suffering and tragedy, and insufferable tragedy, and incomprehensible tragedy? What is your explanation? Well, the explanation for the believer is that there is another conclusion, that God is both powerful and God is loving, and God has a purpose in our pain. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, He is working purposefully, He is working personally, He is working constructively in our lives through the crosses that we bear, through the experiences that we all share together when we suffer. There is purpose in pain and in suffering, and that's what we're going to see in this passage. When we're under fire, what should we do? Number one, face the facts. That's what he is saying in verse 12. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial that comes upon you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. Accepting the reality of tough times, of trials, is key to our understanding what God is doing. He says, don't be surprised by suffering. Expect trials to come. Jesus warned us of this. He said in John chapter 16, in this world you will have tribulation. But then he added, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We are facing spiritual battles. We are under attack by Satan himself. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. And so if we're not getting physical persecution, we certainly are under fire in the sense that all of us are facing a very real enemy who Peter tells us in the fifth chapter is like a roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And Christians, all of us, will spend time in the furnace, the fiery ordeals. When he uses fiery trials here, he's speaking of severe trials. This isn't your basic backache or headache, but severe, fiery ordeals. That's the furnace of affliction. It's good to know, as Warren Wiersbe tells us in his writings, that when we're in the furnace, God always has his eye on the clock and his hand on the thermostat. I like that because it reminds us that God knows how long we're going to be in there and how much we can take. But we will be in the furnace. And when we are in the fire, it is extremely important to face the facts, the reality, because you see, so many of us think, why is this happening to me? Or we say things in the middle of some trial or at the outset of some trial like, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe that I'm hurting like this or I'm suffering like this. But face the facts that we live in a fallen world, a broken world. This very planet is in pain, according to Romans 8, that we live under the curse and the condemnation and the contamination of sin, and therefore, because we live in this fallen world and broken world, we are subject to suffering, pain, persecution. It's all a part of life and therefore should be anticipated. As a matter of fact, if you're a follower of Jesus, a Christ follower, you are a target for the enemy. You are a target for evildoers. Accept that as reality. But listen to the word of God, Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And when you are anchored on the rock-solid word of God, when you are walking in the Spirit of God, though the flames may hurt you, they will not harm you. God will deliver you out of every fiery trial, personally and ultimately. Secondly, not only should we face the facts, but we are to keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. That's clear, isn't it? Look at verse 13 in your Bibles. But rejoice insofar as you share the sufferings of Christ. Keep on rejoicing. This is a reminder of the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5 when he said, you are blessed. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For such did they persecute the prophets before you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad because great is your reward. Keep on rejoicing. Now this is one of the most difficult and demanding admonitions in all of the Bible. Because when you're hurting, when you're in pain, when you're under pressure in some way, for someone to say, cheer up, put on a happy face, I mean, you just want to smack them, don't you? And yet in this passage, Peter tells us, the Word of God tells us, as in numerous other references in God's Word, that we are to rejoice always and keep on rejoicing. We're not masochists. We don't enjoy the pain. But what we enjoy is the strength, the comfort, the power, the glory of God that rests upon us. And Peter tells us exactly what we are to enjoy. He said, rejoice insofar, number one, as you share Christ's suffering. And the word that he uses there for share is koinonia. It's the idea of fellowship. It's the same word. We get our word fellowship. Now, don't think of fellowship as just a party after church. In this case, he is linking fellowship with suffering. The fellowship of his sufferings. Sharing in, fellowshipping with the sufferings of Christ. But the fact is, the best way to get close to God and therefore to rejoice is not in the sufferings that we rejoice, it's in what happens to us and in us when we suffer and call upon the name of the Lord. That's why we rejoice. How do you get close to God? How do you get closer to Christ in your life? I could mention a lot of ways. Read your Bible. pray, worship, listen to messages, sermons from the Word of God, teaching, serve God, utilizing your spiritual gifts, exercising your faith. You want to get closer to God? Spend time with other Christians. But I tell you, the best way, the fastest way into the presence of God like you've never experienced it before is when you're in pain, when you're suffering, when you're walking through deep valleys. Have you noticed in the 23rd Psalm, when David is speaking of the Lord, my shepherd, in the first verses, he's talking about the Lord. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. It's a wonderful tell the story, a testimony of what Christ, the good shepherd, is doing. But then he walks into the dark valley, the deep valley, the valley of the shadow. And after that experience of the valley, he begins talking to the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The fastest way so often into the presence of God is when we are swept off our feet and we get on our knees, because we're stripped of self and self-effort and human effort, and we rely upon the Lord. So keep on rejoicing, because you're getting closer to Christ.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Faith Under Fire. Sexual identity, racism, the sanctity of life, these are some of the hot-button topics in our culture that Christians are called to address. And in his brand new series, Don't Blink, Dr. Graham shows you how to stare down the enemy's lies and stand firm for God's truth as it relates to the current culture. Don't Blink is our thanks for your gift today to help boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Faith Under Fire.
Then he says, keep on rejoicing, because Jesus is coming again. Look at verse 13. He says, be glad when his glory is revealed. Rejoice and be glad. Now, he uses the strongest possible terms. Isn't it interesting that in the midst of a discussion about suffering, in the span of two verses, he mentions joy or its derivative four times? It's joy, 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 joy. And here it is outrageous joy. It is an outburst of joy at the coming of Christ, when the glory of God is revealed. That's the second coming. And so often it is your outlook that determines your outcome in life. And if your outlook takes the uplook, if you're looking for the return of Christ, you know that the sufferings, according to Paul, the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed. So we rejoice in the promise and the prospect of the return of Jesus. So keep on rejoicing. There's another reason we rejoice, and that is because the Spirit of God rests upon us. Look again at verse 14. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, some translate that power, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of power and of God rests upon you. We can be sure He is present in our pain, that the Spirit is the comforter who comes when we are hurting, when we are broken. We suffer, and the Holy Spirit comes and rests upon us in power and glory. And the word the Spirit of glory here is an interesting word, because the glory here refers to the Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory, the same glory that rested upon the tabernacle and the temple where the Holy of Holies was. And that Shekinah presence of God, that glorious power and presence of God, when we are in the fire, When we are in the furnace, if we will look to Him, the glory of God, the presence of His Spirit will fill our lives like we never before imagined. The Spirit and the glory. Think of Stephen dying for his faith under a barrage of stones taking his life, and yet his face shining with the glory of God, his face, his countenance like an angel, because the Spirit and the glory was resting upon him. So when you suffer, when you hurt, face the facts, face the reality that it's going to happen. Don't be surprised by this. Prepare for this. Secondly, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. And then refuse to be ashamed. Refuse to be ashamed. I know some who are ashamed of their tears. Christians who think, well, I can't cry because somehow that's a weakness in faith. That's not scripture. Don't be ashamed of your tears. Don't be ashamed of your suffering, especially if your suffering comes because you're standing for Christ. Verse 16, and if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. And the word ashamed there means to dishonor Christ. Maybe, just maybe, Peter reflected back as he wrote these words on the time he denied and dishonored the Lord. When Christ was on trial, faith was under fire. Peter three times, even as Jesus predicted. Now he prepared him. He said, face reality. One of you is going to deny me. Peter said, no way, Lord. Jesus said, way, Peter. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And he did just exactly that. And he was so broken that he thought it would never be the same, even after the resurrection, until Jesus restored him. Peter always remembered the time that he melted in the heat, dishonored and denied the Lord. And when you're suffering and when you're hurting, so very important that you take your stand for Christ, that you don't give up, that you don't give in. Really fires purge us and refine us, mature us in our faith. The fires of testing, you know, are often pop quizzes, exams that all of us may take. And by the way, suffering is not an elective course in life. It is a required curriculum. But we must not be ashamed of Jesus and in any way dishonor or deny His name. Peter amplifies this by saying, judgment must begin at the house of God. Discipline, judgment must begin at the house of God. Going to church, putting our time in worship, Bible study, giving our money, getting involved in ministries and programs, singing songs, can become so routine that sometimes God needs to move in and shake us up. Judgment must begin at the house of God. America needs revival. But before revival comes, repentance must come, and that starts with us. Let judgment begin at the house of God. Therefore, when there is a scandal in the church, what is God doing? Shaking us up and removing sin. Because God will never, never condone in the believer what He condemns in the unbeliever. So God comes in to clean house, to purge and to purify His people. Judgment begins at the house of God. God may light a fire in our life in order to purify us as to whether or not we are going to stand for Jesus or not. But if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. You keep standing. You keep confessing. And don't do anything that brings denial or dishonor to the name of Jesus. And having said that, when he speaks here of judgment at the house of God, he goes on to speak of the judgment upon those who do not obey the gospel of God, unbelievers. Think of that judgment. an inferno of judgment, hell, where the fire is never quenched. People without Jesus are not our enemies, even if they persecute us. They're people desperately in need of the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God. We ought to be praying for our lost friends and for our lost nation, our lost world, because they are facing a sure and certain judgment. Our God, the Bible says, is a consuming fire. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christ follower, the patience and the mercy and the love of God, that is the only thing that keeps you from the judgment of God. Prepare to meet your God. But there's one final word here, and that is to trust in God's faithfulness. When your faith is under fire, face the facts. It's going to happen. Keep on rejoicing. Refuse to be ashamed of Jesus and trust in God's faithfulness in your life. That's verse 19. You ought to mark it, underline it, memorize it, if you will. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will, there's the key, God's plan, God's purpose, God's will. You'll never understand suffering unless you're willing to respond appropriately to the sovereignty of God over suffering. If you suffer according to the will of God, then entrust your soul to a faithful Creator while doing good. Sometimes when we suffer, we want to crawl into a hole and die. We close ourselves off from the world, but that's not good counsel. Keep on doing good, and all the while, commit to a faithful and loving God, a faithful Creator who knows what is good for you and what is best for you, and is only shaping you into the image more and more like Jesus. The word entrust there, I love this word. It means to deposit for safekeeping. It's the same thing the Apostle Paul said when he said, I know whom I believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Commit your life to His safekeeping. You are God's valuable. You are God's treasure. You are God's beloved. Commit your way to Him. He will bring it to pass. He will bring you through. For safekeeping, for the security of life, no matter how much we hurt, no matter how great the test of the tragedy, when we're under fire, we are to keep trusting in the faithfulness and the goodness of God.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Faith Under Fire. Our world is full of chaos and confusion, moral and spiritual darkness. What it needs to see is bold faith from followers of Christ. That's why Dr. Graham wants to send you his new 5-message series, Don't Blink. This series tackles some of the most pressing issues our culture is facing today and shows how the Bible offers the answers our world so desperately needs. Don't Blink is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's word through PowerPoint. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Okay, everybody, it's time for a reality check. Suffering is a part of life. God never promised us that we wouldn't have problems. And this also includes, if you're a Christian, those who put you down or even ridicule or misunderstand you because of your faith and commitment to Jesus. But don't you dare let the problems of life get you down. Let me share with you 3 powerful, penetrating truths to hold on to when your faith is under fire.
First, remember that God loves you unconditionally. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter who betrays you, no matter who accuses you, no matter what kind of fire you're facing, nothing will separate you from the love of God. He tells us in His Word, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting love. Imagine that. That's how much God loves you. He eternally, forever loves you, and you belong to Him. Secondly, I want to really challenge you, and you hear this often from preachers like me and Bible teachers, but it's so important that you not miss this. You can't underestimate what I'm about to say. Read your Bible and talk to God in prayer regularly. You will find strength and wisdom in God's Word, and you will find a connection with God as you pray that will strengthen you for every one of life's challenges. It's in the Word of God, and it is in prayer that we are strengthened for every crisis, every challenge when we face fires in life. And then one other thing. Find yourself in the church. Get around other believers. Go to church, hear God's Word, get involved in a small group Bible study, get in a Sunday school class. Make sure that you are serving as an active member of God's people, the church, and you'll be encouraged and challenged, and people will be there for you when you need them the most. As difficult as life can be, and as fiery the trials may come our way, I know how difficult this is for many of us in times like these, and yet do not be afraid in times of crisis and heartbreak and even tragedy. Look at these as an opportunity to grow closer to God. Get a perspective on your pain by realizing that as a believer, you are a follower of Jesus. And even as Jesus suffered, when we walk in His steps, we also will find ourselves in the fire of suffering from time to time as well. But the good news is, Jesus conquered. He conquered sin, death, hell, all the enemies, all the fire that came against Him. He defeated the enemy, and He stood strong and defeated the darkness. And His power in you can give you that same strength and that same power.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's brand new 5-message series, Don't Blink, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can find freedom from worry and fear. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.